Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome into another edition of the Husker 24/7 podcast. I'm Mike Schaefer, this time joined by Mike Sauter, who we have not had on for a couple months. The Nebraska high school state playoffs for football are coming to a furious conclusion on Monday and Tuesday, six matchups, three each day. And I figured who better to bring in to dive into all of that than the man who's probably seen, how many of these teams have you seen play in person? You've seen all of Class A and Class B.
Yeah. Saw Aurora, not in a game, but I saw them camp.
Okay, we'll count it.
In June. Haven't seen Pierce.
Okay, that's not Pierce, so that's the one that I can throw into this.
And I haven't seen Cedar Catholic or Norfolk Catholic.
Okay.
So
You saw any of the D2 teams? D1, D2?
Clarkson Lee, I saw. Saw Clarkson Lee. Know a lot about Howells Dodge. They're basically returned like everybody. And that's it. And Aiden Keister, you just look at his numbers for Neely Oakdale and you're like, all right, bro, like you're good. So, the dude has like ridiculous stat line. Yeah. It's crazy. What he did last week in the semis, we might as well where we're on it. What he did last week in the semis was crazy. But then you look and he's got 180 total tackles to go with his, oh, by the way, of 2,000 rushing and 2,000 passing. It's crazy. Like,
to do everything 8-man athlete right there.
It is. Yeah. And normally an 8-man, like when you have a guy like that, you got a guy. Okay. Here it is. He has 2,031 yards rushing and 47 touchdowns. He has 26-46 passing and 27 touchdowns. By the way, he's the punter with a 37.9 average on 17 attempts.
Not bad.
They don't have a place kicker. He has 184 total tackles, 82 of them solo, with 2 sacks and 4 interceptions. That's pretty good.
So he seems like he's doing okay.
He's doing all right. And he broke Scott Frost's record, all-time yardage record.
So is he going to be on a Super 6? Does he force his own inclusion on these things?
I mean, he's got to be.
I mean, with that kind of record,
he's got to be in the conversation of
life. And he's in a state title game for Neely Oakdale. They play Monday afternoon against Clarkson Lee.
He's got to be in the conversation as like an all-state, if you just do athlete guy, like of like the top teams, you know?
Yep.
Not just an 8-man one or whatever. He's got to be in the conversation.
Yeah. So let's just kind of start with that game. We'll jump around here a little bit. We'll obviously get up to I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm pretty excited for Westside Gretna Part 2. Last year's game was cold. There was some hitting, an incredible goal line stand, like just an absolute great game. So I'm excited about that rematch. So let's get to that.
I obviously have thoughts.
We'll get there. We'll start Neely Oakdale and Clarkson Lee D1. This will be played Monday afternoon.
Yeah. I think he's probably too much. I did see Clarkson Lee in their first round win over Wisner Pilger on a Thursday night. Kyle Kasich has 1,900 yards rushing. They don't really throw it, but they can pop one on you if they need to. I think your stereotypical 8-man, we're going to run it the best we can and figure it out. Drew Beeson has 123 total tackles for Clarkson Lee. Can he be a difference maker enough? Clarkson Lee does have a lot of nice kind of athletes. They're not the biggest team. They got some nice athletes. It's just going to be a matter of what do they do with Neely Oakdale. So you want a little bit of a nugget here that not a lot of people know about. So Neely Oakdale's head coach was at Fremont Bergen.
Oh.
He coached Riley Gross, who is the offensive coordinator at Gretna in high school. And Riley was a really good player in high school. They're both coaching record-breaking offensive players. And they both are coaching, obviously, in the state championship. So there's a nugget that literally probably 15 people maybe know.
I don't think my nugget is nearly as interesting. Neely Oakdale's only loss is to Howells Dodge. And they have not played a one-score game the rest of the season. They've, like, if you pull up their scores on the NSAA website, like, they don't just beat people. Like, they obliterate them. They have not played a close game since losing that season opener to potentially the best team in D2. We'll get to Howells Dodge in a minute, because I think that game's fascinating, too, for a different reason. Neely, okay, like, and obviously eight-man football, you don't always get a lot of close games. Like, you can get out of hand pretty early. But they have absolutely just stomped everyone. Like, whether it was in the playoffs, the regular season, the best teams they played, the worst teams they played, they made them all look the same.
Yeah, them beating St. – like, a shorthanded St. Pat's last week. St. Pat's lost their starting running back the last week of the regular season. But still, I mean, they beat them 50-28. They scored a lot. Obviously, they score a lot of points. Their lowest scoring output of the year is the week one game against Howells Dodge, where it was 50-12. Other than that, they've scored, you know, 36 and 90 and 80 and 58. And Heartland held them 34-22 I believe that was a playoff game. So I think Neely Oakdale probably just has a little bit too much in that.
Let's dive over to the D2 game that'll actually start things off on Monday morning. You have undefeated Howells Dodge against undefeated Hitchcock County. Just like Neely Oakdale, both of these teams have wrecked everybody they've faced. I'm fairly certain that Hitchcock County has only allowed points in 6 games when I was looking this up. So they have a forfeit or two in there too. So they haven't played as many games, but like they're going to present a challenge for Howells Dodge, which is no stranger to Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, it's 5 games actually where they've given up a point, and the most points they've given up was they gave up 24 to South Loop, but they won 36-24. They give up 8 to Bayard. They gave up 8 to Bertrand. They gave up 6 to Dundee County Stratton, who was a playoff team. And they gave up 6 to Elm Creek. They have 2 playoff shutouts. They shut out Humphrey St. Francis 52-0. They have 3 playoff shutouts, and Elm Creek scored 6, 1 touchdown. So Hitchcock County has been here, kind of done that as well. They are absolutely, I think, the underdog in this game, if you will. They haven't won a state title. Howells Dodge moved down from D1 champs to D2 champs last year. Howells Dodge is, I think, probably clearly the favorite. Can Keenan Gaston kind of do something at all offensively? It's probably going to be a pretty good defensive game. One name here that if people are going to kind of watch this game is Andy Dominguez, their defensive lineman for Howells Dodge. He's kind of a wrecking crew. I actually watched huddle on him earlier this week, and he's got 7 sacks, 61 tackles. He applies pressure, hard hitter. Howells Dodge just kind of ran the table with everybody and everything as expected basically all year. And Lance Brester is over 2,000 yards rushing. I think it's going to be probably an uphill battle for Hitchcock County, but could be a little bit of a low scoring game in, you know, relative eight man relativity. You know, like 35 points maybe wins it instead of 50 or 60.
All right, let's dive over to C2. That'll be on Tuesday morning to kick things off. We have the only real kind of Cinderella story of the state playoffs, at least in the top six classes, and that is Cedar Catholic. And the problem for Cedar Catholic is on the other side of the field on Tuesday morning is a damn good Norfolk Catholic team that, you know, we talked about Howell's Dodge. I like, there's certain teams in this state that you kind of just grow up knowing if you followed high school football, and like I did, you know, growing up, you would just see Howell's Dodge, Norfolk. Like, these teams were always in title games, and here's Norfolk Catholic again.
Yeah, here they are again. I think this would be Norfolk Catholic, if they can win, this will be Norfolk Catholic's last state title was 2017, and I think that tied or broke the record. Coach Beller, Jeff Beller, broke the record, I think, for state championships. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, it'll be 11 if they win, which is just tremendous. The one thing with Cedar Catholic, though, defensively, they have really played well all year. These two played earlier in the year. It was week 7, and it was only 14-0. So, you know, I expect probably a low scoring game. Cedar Catholic, same thing. Like, defensively, they've been terrific. Oakland Craig beat them 21-19 in a really close one. And Oakland Craig needed a 2-point conversion stop, to win that game. Battle Creek beat them 20-12 in the regular season. But then last week in the semis, Battle Creek, Cedar Catholic beat Battle Creek 6-0. This is a very much so rivalry game, clearly. Northeast Nebraska rivals, no question about it. The one thing is they made a change at quarterback, Cedar Catholic, in the middle of the year, and that really has helped them out a ton. They went younger at quarterback, moved the other quarterback to more of an athlete guy. Which has helped them the team out a lot, passing the ball a little bit more, which is something. But I just don't know. I'm excited. I haven't seen Cade Pieper play for Norfolk Catholic this year, obviously, and committed to Iowa, flipped his commitment from North Dakota State to Iowa. And it is spelled the same as Ethan Piper, by the way, and they both are Norfolk Catholic kids. But they're not related. Explain that to me. Somebody's going to need to help me with that one. I don't know.
Big world. There's only so many surnames.
Not in Norfolk, though. It's not that big.
It's like Nebraska's eighth biggest town.
I'm just saying. Norfolk Catholic's been the favorite all year before the year started. And I don't see that necessarily changing that much, even though I do think it's probably like maybe it's 21-7.
Yeah.
Or a 14.
Cedar Catholic's defense kind of keeps them hanging around a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So diving over to C1, it feels like another program in line with Howell's Dodge and Norfolk Catholic in Aurora. Now, Aurora has not won their last two state title appearances, which, oh, by the way, were 2021 in Class B and 2020 in Class B. Now Aurora down in C1, where they are undefeated, and they will meet an undefeated Pierce team in what is the first of three straight matchups that we will talk about. That is 1-2. And I have seen Pierce play. They're a different version than they were last year. I think last year Pierce went into that game against Lakeview, and they kind of had it taken to them, and they couldn't respond. This year's Pierce team, I think, has more physical ability to kind of go after teams. But do they have enough to hang with an Aurora team that can put up points in a hurry? And they're no stranger to big games. Like, they're going to be ready for this one.
And also, Pierce is the underdog, and they are very much so aware of that, if you know what that means. Mm-hmm. I follow
the context.
Yeah, they probably, I think people maybe think that they don't, how do I say this? I think people think that, you know, don't have a shot, right? Ben Bramer, by the way, quietly a great year, 69 catches.
He's good.
Yeah.
I felt like I had to argue with people all year that he was good. It's like, I would put this guy in my top three or top four in the state without a question. Yeah. And yet for some reason, it's like, oh, he's too skinny. Is he fast enough? And it's like, he's going to play tight end.
Yeah.
Two, he's already 215 pounds. He's only getting bigger. I think when you see him on Tuesday, you're going to be impressed. Like, he's a little more physical this year than he was the past two. When they went to the state title game, they won it in 2020. And they lost last year to Lakeview.
And he has a nice quarterback. Abram Schulting is, outside of Zane Flores, he's in the conversation of the best senior quarterback in the state. Mm-hmm. Him or maybe Trey Bird Bennington. But Bramer has 69 catches for 1,274 and 18 touchdowns. It's good. That's a good year. He has a nice quarterback throwing it to him too. Hey, here's the thing with Ben Bramer. When he was a sophomore, he was working out with Thomas Fedoni, and frankly, like, Thomas Fedoni, if he's healthy, doesn't have knee injury, he's killing it in Nebraska right now. If he was healthy, because mm-hmm. that dude's a freak. And Thomas Fedoni himself was like, that guy's good. I was there. I was watching both of them work out, and he's like, that kid's really good. He's going to be really good. He's like a version of me type of thing, right? So, Matt, think a Thomas Fedoni-esque guy.
Yep.
When you think of Ben Bramer. They are, like I said, extremely the underdog in this game. But Aurora's Carlos Collazo has a hamstring injury that he's been dealing with for the last handful of weeks. He played last week after missing the first two playoff rounds.
Really good running back for
Aurora. Yeah, he's a fantastic running back from Aurora. Really tough to tackle and all of that. He has 1,900 yards rushing on the year. And that's missing, you know, like four games or whatever. So imagine he was averaging like 200 and some. Drew Knuse is their quarterback at Aurora. Aurora is the favorite. They have been the favorite all year in C1. They moved down from – if they were in Class B, they would have at least made the semis. So, you know, like that's pretty good. Oh, by the way, the last time Aurora was in a C1 state championship, 2018, when one Baylor Shireman just torched, I don't even remember who they played, but he had six touchdown passes and was just standing out there with that lefty throw, just dropping bombs on people. So
what's that guy got on to do?
He's a pretty good basketball player in college. I think he's just fine. Aurora is the favorite. And they have been all year. Just the health of Collazo and Jack Allen. Jack Allen's a name for Aurora to keep. Like, he's really good player, a defensive tackle, and it is Austin Allen's cousin.
Okay,
picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Moving on to Class B, I'm going to say something, and I'm just going to let you react to it and see if it's just audaciously stupid. It sure feels like there's a changing of the guard, and there's a new king in Class B, and it's Bennington.
Yeah, I think that's okay. True.
Because
yeah.
It had been Omaha Scott for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you sort of just always kind of – Scott was in these games. Scott played in state title games. And now it just feels like Bennington – like, I watched him a few years ago, and they played Norris, and Norris ended up winning that game. But I just was looking at the roster, like, they had all these sophomores, and they had even freshmen at the time contributing. Those guys are now juniors and seniors, and – it doesn't matter whether it's Tyler LeClaire or whoever it is. Like, they just replace. It's just a mm-hmm. – it's maybe one of the best plug-and-replace programs in the state right now. Like, they lose a guy, whatever. The next guy behind him is as good, maybe better.
Yeah, in particular, you look at roster size. I mean, we're talking – they have 98 kids.
Yeah. They have more players than, what, two-thirds of Class A at times?
Yeah.
I mean, they have more than every OPS school.
Bennington is the kind of new Elkhorn South. Yep. When Elkhorn South was, you know, when Elkhorn South was, like, you know, in Class B, and their numbers were so high, and because population, you know, people are moving mm-hmm. out there and all that stuff. They're kind of on the border, right, of A, B, all that stuff. So I think that they are that. But, yes, they are very much so plug and replace. Nick Culver has 1,600 rushing yards, and that's after what Dylan Mostick did last year for Bennington in record-breaking season. So he also has 20 touchdowns. Trey Bird is back at quarterback.
Really good last year in the state title game.
Yeah, it's Trey Bird or Abram Schulting outside of Zane Flores. Those are the two – you know, guys that are seniors and in the whole senior class of in-state guys. Trey Bird has 31 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and 2,200 yards passing. It's pretty good. Isaac Connor's a guy. KJ Taffa is a guy as far as receiver for them. Here's like the weird part. You said plug and play, replace. Bennington has... They started the year, they needed to replace all 5 starters on their offensive line, and they have not missed a beat. They have 5 new starters on the offensive line, not missed a beat. That just shows you where their program's at right now. And I think that's pretty special, honestly. Yeah.
Speaking of special, though, I know you think very highly of the team that they will be facing on Tuesday night. Omaha Gross, storybook season, big senior class. They went out and they handled their business in the playoffs, and now they have an opportunity for that big finish. Like, this is like one of those, it all sort of builds to this moment right here.
It is like the coolest story. You have a roster size of 55 versus a team that has 97 on the roster. You have kids that play both ways, a significant number, in particular Sal Naccarelli, who's like the best lineman that they got for sure. Carson Almgren's another really good guard. When I say they play both ways, I mean Sal Naccarelli played every single down on offense and defense. We're talking defensive tackle and offensive guard. Against Scotts Bluff in their state semifinal game. Bennington doesn't have anyone that goes both ways. So, well, Ethan Wynn plays both ways, I guess, but not every down. Right. Right? Of the 55 players on the Gross roster, 25 odd rough number are seniors. and they've all played together since they were little kids. It is a fantastic story. It is amazing. This is their first time back in the state title game since 2012 when they won the school's only state championship game. Can Colby Duncan pass it enough to give Jake Garcia, who I love Jake Garcia as a running back, he is so patient and he is tough. He has 1,800 rushing yards. And then they can bring in Owen Brennan as a little kind of change of pace that can just pop you real quick. Different styles. I think this game, if there isn't a lot of wind on Tuesday night, I think this game could be really high scoring and really fun. The SOBs from South Omaha is such a neat story. And Coach Van Outen has done a tremendous job with this group. And I know it's going to be an emotional night for him, win or lose, and those kids, because, man, they have been building for this. Like I said, in Omaha anymore, like, these kids played together, all of them, since they were in elementary school. And they've stuck together the whole time. Pretty cool. And if you know what I mean by SOB, it's South Omaha Boys. So
that's what everybody knows it to mean.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
All right. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Monday night, the main event, the rematch that I think when the bracket came out or when you sort of knew what it was going to look like, this is the kind of the state title game that I think, you know, if you didn't have any other vested interest, this is kind of what you wanted. The narratives of which there are many. Zane Flores will be going for his second straight state title, potentially cementing himself as the best quarterback in state history. I know that you've drawn ire for suggesting such a thing.
Potentially.
Well, I'm allowing that there can be a disagreement along the line. And I think almost more than anything, there's a narrative out there that Gretna almost has to sort of reprove that last year wasn't a one-off. Like, it, as if, you know, their domination this entire season doesn't show that. That they almost need to prove that. And then on the other side, you have a Westside team. This is their fourth straight Class A title game. Mm-hmm. They went, they lost, they won, they lost. We'll see. They've got maybe the most talented roster in the state when you're talking about guys that potentially could go on to play football at the next level. They have it, you know, whether they're seniors, whether they're juniors, whether they're sophomores, and I'm sure they've got a few freshmen that maybe only you and a few other people know about at this point in time, but we'll be hearing about soon. And they have, you know, a mantra of unfinished business because they felt like they let last year go when they had been sort of the dominant team. And so this matchup, I think it's fantastic. I mean, I don't even know where I would begin to try to determine who I think is going to necessarily win here. Because one of the great things about this, Mike, you have Zane Flores, the best quarterback in the state, and he's going against what I think is the best secondary in the state. Mm-hmm. And if Caleb Benning is returning from injury, and there's at least a small chance of that, then they're getting a big lift from a guy that they haven't had for the last 6-7 weeks.
Yeah, it very much so is strength on strength. The back 7-8 for West Side, I guess a 3-man front, so back 8, is the best in the state. Most athletic, you know, have most talent. Caleb is, I mean, he's all sign, every single sign points to him playing on Monday night, Caleb Benning. And that's awesome because Zane, and by the way, it's Zane Flores, not Flores.
Flores.
Found that out on Friday night after 4 years of calling him Flores.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
It's just Flores? It's like you're taking the word floor and you add an S?
Flores.
Flores.
I promise. So his family.
I'll try to adjust.
Yeah, his family said something to me on Friday night, and I looked at him, and I don't know if I can cuss right here, so I won't. But I looked at him, and I said, "Are you me?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Just figured we'd let you know." I'm like, "You're telling me it's been 4 years that I have said it wrong, and no one has told me."
Yeah,
I've also driven. I'm pretty sure I've driven the train, the bus, flown the Zane Flores plane of the fan club since he was a freshman. So
you weren't the person that told me about him, so that's a mark against you right there.
I will say this.
I got a text from Steve Warren, and he's like, this is the best freshman quarterback I've ever seen. That's when he first came on my radar for you.
I am the first person to write something about him in his life, and he will tell you that. So there you go. Okay. So whatever
you'll always have that.
I will. Him and I will always have that.
Are you going to be like Brian Windhorst to Zane Flores?
That would be cool. Yeah, it'd be his LeBron.
You're going to go live in Stillwater? You know all about Oklahoma.
I grew up in Tulsa.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm very familiar with – I've been to Stillwater. Actually grew up an Oklahoma State men's basketball fan with Big Country Bryant Reeves and Byron Houston and those guys. So I have their autographs, frankly, still today.
Wow.
So anyway – Zane is the ultimate equalizer, but Westside gets an equalizer back of their own after not playing for however long. That's so fascinating, kind of this matchup. Can Caleb Schnell, Tyson Boganowski, Blake Moore, Colin Sims, the guys for Gretna, the receiver targets for Gretna, can they get open, create space, all that stuff? Because the back, like I said, CJ Jones is obviously very talented and had a really nice year, kind of an under the radar. I feel like we don't talk about him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he's kind of just flying by. Jeremiah Truitt's a really good defensive back for them. Anthony Rezac, the quarterback for Westside's twin brother. Teddy's had a really good year. He's played all over the place.
He's kind of like almost like, you remember Virginia Tech, they had that monster position?
Yeah.
Or kind of like a star position where it's not really a safety, it's not really a linebacker, but he sort of floats between those two levels.
Yeah.
That's when I've watched Westside, that's what I've noticed with him.
And oh, by the way, he can play corner.
Yeah.
So, you know, like he started at corner last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of moved around. Their back is really good. For me, it's going to be Gretna's defensive front's really good too. Harrison Weber in the middle, he's not the biggest guy, but he is strong. And he gave Prep all kinds of fits. Corver Dema he has 11 sacks on the year.
Walking on to Nebraska.
He's a stud. He's actually, you know, he plays outside linebacker, DN. He's going to move to inside backer in college. Mm-hmm. So look for that. He plays so hard. I love that kid. I think he's fantastic. By the way, he's playing the River Battle Bowl next weekend. Team Nebraska. And by the way, there's the trophy from last year.
We go.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's playing Ethan Sturr, outside backer number 80 for Gretna too, can really get in spaces good. The thing about Gretna is they're like good players are better than everybody else's good players.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really good players are just as good as everybody else's too. So if you, the average guys, like don't make mistakes, they tackle really well. They don't miss tackles. They're super sound defensively. I think this game is going to be a defensive game again.
Just like last year.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be 7-3, but I think it'll be a low scoring game, like a 14-10 or 17-10 or 17-14. Maybe someone gets three touchdowns. And if it is, it's probably Gretna. Same thing kind of, I guess I thought about when Prep played Gretna last week. If Gretna gets to 21, I don't know if you're Westside, you don't probably feel great about that.
Right.
Because that means Zane is doing what he does. And yes, he is the best quarterback to ever play in Nebraska. And he's the best pure quarterback to ever play in Nebraska.
You don't even have to couch it. Just say it. I know you believe it anyways.
No, he's the best. Right, like, yeah.
So I'm just saying, don't couch it. I know you believe it. You can just say it.
I talked to a lot of people. Like, I've had the conversation with Eric Crouch about, like, we did, like, 2 weeks ago, Eric and I talked about, you know, they're different players, so it's hard. The eras are so different, right? The Jerry Godowski's and that of the world, so different. Okay, he's the best. In this century, he's for sure the best. And, you know, that's why I said pure quarterback, but I think he's probably the best. He has the most yards passing in Class A history.
He's a four-year starter, essentially, right? Like, he started.
He started his.
A little bit at the end of his freshman year, I think.
Yeah, right? After the third game, he started the fourth game. Got in a little bit, but started the fourth game. So, hey, if you guys want to know about quarterback history and Zane Flores, I did write a very long, nice article you can find on nebpreps.com about kind of the quarterback sort of history and what it is. That was actually a little bit of a preview of the time that Bellevue West and Gretna played the first game. Oh, by the way, the Gretna comeback. So I think this game's super intriguing. And frankly, I haven't heard a lot of, you know, last year stuff and, you know, whatever. And not even the game stuff from last year, you know, all the stuff after the game.
Yeah. Well, like, none of that matters to me because Gretna went and won that title and that's all that matters.
Yeah. And honestly, the only people talking about that are adults.
Right.
So, like,
because the kids settled it on the field.
Yeah. The kids know what happened. Yep. And it's adults from one side, not even the other side. So
I want to ask you about Christian Jones because I know we got to wrap this up. You're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Christian Jones, I continue to think is going to be kind of the next big recruit out of Nebraska. Now, Carter Nelson has blown up.
Yeah.
And Carter Nelson, maybe a little bit more like Malachi Coleman, where it's the testing numbers and the athleticism are so insane combined with raw potential. Christian Jones just seems like a dude. And how do you feel like his first year went, having transferred from Burke to Westside? He's now playing in a state title game. He's got two more years after this. And it just feels like this is going to be a guy we're going to be talking about a lot.
Yeah, he's a, I guess, physical freak, if you will. I think he's pretty dang good. He doesn't, like, jump out, you know, if you're standing there watching a game. He does have 53 tackles. He has one sack. He has one interception, two fumble recoveries.
He's always around the ball, though. Like, he's just always doing the right thing. Like, and I think part of it is his versatility that you could use him on offense if you wanted to in the high school level.
I was just going to say that he can definitely play like a slot tight end-ish, you know, if you need like a 3 yard out, you know, or something like that. He can do that. I think you're right. I think, you know, he got the buzz, a lot more buzz as a freshman because he started as a freshman at Burke, followed Lamanji to Westside. I think you're right. I think he's also just not a kid that's like big into camping.
He's not going to talk about himself.
Yeah. He just isn't that guy.
Yeah.
And he frankly, like, he probably would win some underwear Olympics medals. Like, he probably would if he did it. I just don't think he cares.
Yeah.
I really don't.
He doesn't want to get lost in the sauce is what he told me.
Yeah, man. Like, he's a great kid. Like, went very level and really kind of sees the big picture. He's kind of like Zane. Like, he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. Zane Flores,
Flores,
his last game in Memorial Stadium, which should not be his last game in Memorial Stadium, if you ask my, that's my opinion. Wow. Are we going to talk about that in a couple years?
Could be. We are definitely be having that discussion.
We definitely are. Okay, one last thing real quick.
Sure.
And I really do got to go.
I know. I'm trying to help you out here.
7-3 game last year. Remember the goal line stand?
Yeah, we opened the show with it.
I don't think we will see a Wildcat play that they haven't tried at all. The entire year. I don't think you'll see if it comes down to that again for Westside, I don't think you'll see a Wildcat run trying something on a goal line that they haven't run the entire season.
Okay. That's your oddly specific prediction.
I feel pretty good about that one.
All right, Mike, I'm not going to make you pick a winner in every game.
No.
I think people can kind of suss that out from what we've talked about, but I am going to make you pick a winner in Class A. Westside Gretna, who you got?
Oh my gosh. Man, I think I just Gretna's older. They're older up front. They're older, a little bit older at quarterback. Now I love Anthony Rizak. I think he's tremendous. He's gonna surpass 2,000 passing. He's got over 1,000 rushing. I think he's a tremendous athlete, and I think he's severely undervalued as a quarterback from a recruiting perspective. I think it's like a 17-14, something really close and low scoring. And I just think Zane's too good.
He's going with Gretna. Not really enough. Like this is a toss up.
I think
there's a favorite. I don't think there's a, you know, you could convince me on either side of it, and I would be. Yeah.
I think it's a 50-50 for sure.
Yep. All right, Mike. Well, we appreciate it. And of course, everyone knows that you'll get to take a nice big vacation once the high school football playoffs end. You definitely won't be busy and immediately jumping into basketball or anything else like that. So enjoy your vacation. We'll talk to you again when high school football rolls back around.
River Battle Bowl practice is Wednesday.
That's right. I promised you an opportunity to talk about the River Battle Bowl.
I really got to go. I'm late. So River Battle Bowl Wednesday, practice is on Wednesday. I'm really excited about kind of helping put that roster together again.
Is there anywhere people can watch it if they can't attend the game?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be streamed. So this year it's going to be in Cedar Falls at the UNI Dome. Yep. And every other year it's been at just in Council Bluffs or something outside. So last year we had Noah Walters play quarterback and try and throw the ball in 30-mile-an-hour winds. But hey, guess what? We still won because I got the trophy.
Got the trophy.
So hopefully I get to set that back there again on Sunday. The game's Sunday at 1:30. And this is the one time that I have a major rooting interest in a game that I am attending or will be at outside of the New York Jets. And I am very intense in this situation. So go Team Nebraska. We got something for them. We might not have the most talented roster this year, but I really do like the defensive front. And last year we had 12 sacks because of the defensive front that I put together. Ooh. So hopefully we can at least get close to that.
All right. Well, we here at Husker 24/7 wish Team Nebraska luck in the River Battle Bowl Sunday, November 27th.
Yeah, 1:30 p.m.
1:30. And you figure out if it's streaming anywhere, and I'll be sure to push that.
I'm pretty sure there'll be something like
that. All right, Mike. We appreciate it. Everybody, check back with Husker 24/7 throughout the weekend. We'll have more podcasts, more content. Of course, I'll be back on Sunday to talk about the Wisconsin game. And we'll have plenty of coverage from the Wisconsin game. And you may not believe it, the coaching search has continued to roll along here, and we'll have coverage on that too. Everything and more at Husker247.com.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.